The next morning when the sun comes up, he gets out of bed and he says, "Today I'm going to witness and share Jesus with the first man that walks through my door." And so he opens up his shop. And the first guy comes in and says, "I want a shave." And the barber says, "Sure, just sit down over here in the seat. I'll be with you in a moment." And so the barber goes into the back and he prays this desperate prayer. He says, "God, my first customer just came in and I'm going to witness to him. So give me the wisdom to know just the right thing to say. Amen." So the barber comes out. He's got his razor knife in one hand and the Bible in the other. And he says, "Good morning, sir. I have a question for you. Are you prepared to die?" Right? How not to witness. Evangelism is a scary thing to us when we think about it. But you know, without evangelism, it's pretty hard for the church to grow. Evangelism in Scripture, you know, is listed as one of the gifts. And some of us like to say, "Well, I just don't have that gift. I'm sorry. That's your job, Pastor. You can evangelize." But we're actually all commanded to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. Sometimes we have these fears. We might think, "Oh, they think of me." You know, when I was finishing up my master's in Oregon, my Oregon professor was not a Christian, and one day he asked me why I had considered myself part of the God Squad. Right? You know? So in his mind, he was kind of making fun of me a little bit for my faith. And, you know, what would people think of us? Maybe that's a fear that we have about evangelizing. Or the other one that sometimes people say, "Well, I don't want to say the wrong thing and drive them even farther away from God." You know, I refuse to have a Christian fish on my vehicle because if I do something dumb when I'm driving, I don't want to be advertising, "Hey, I just cut you off, and I love Jesus." How about this one? "I'm not trained to do this. It's way too complicated. I'm not a scholar." You think those fishermen that left their nets were scholars? They were ordinary, everyday folk that had an encounter with Jesus Christ and followed him because they knew there was something different about him that changed their lives. How about faith is a private matter and not to be shared? How did you find out if no one shared with you? Right? It's not as scary or as hard as we might think to share our faith. You know, every day you share your faith just by your actions, especially in New England. You know, we don't measure church growth up here the same way that they do in the South and the West. It's different, isn't it? Some people like to say New England's rocky soil. People's hearts are the same all over the country, you know. But I will say that developing a relationship with somebody, and they watch your words and they watch your actions and they know that you go to church, that's telling the story of Christ in many ways. We're told in Scripture to always be ready to make our defense to anyone who demands from us an accounting for the hope that is in us. Is your life filled with hope? Do you have any joy in you in knowing Christ that might look a little bit different from those around you? If you do, are you trying to hold it down so you don't stick out? It's okay to stick out for Christ. It's okay. And if you don't have that joy and that hope, the Lord can give that to you. When you know Jesus and you are following him, you will seem different. This past week, I had a chance to run out to Niagara County, New York. And originally, Noah was going to go with me. We made it as far as Londonderry, and then he got sick in the car. I had to take him home, and then I went back out. So it was supposed to be a trip for both of us, but it ended up being just me. And I went out, and I hung out with some friends of mine that I've known for a few years, and we went fishing. Now, these guys don't necessarily know the Lord. And the one guy, you know, knows that I'm, quote unquote, a preacher. So he says to the guy that's with us, he says, "Right now, this is Father Christian. Don't smoke, and don't swear, and don't take the name of the Lord in vain. So I have mixed feelings about that. I mean, I'm glad they're trying to clean up their act around me, but I'm a normal guy too, relatively, I'd like to think. And the people know when you follow Christ that there's something different, and they will respond in different ways. Maybe people won't want to be your friend, or maybe they won't want to act the way they normally do when they're around you. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Or maybe they will be at a point in their life where they say, man, I am sick and tired of the same old in my life, and there's something different about that person. I know that they claim to be a Christian. Maybe that has something to do with it. You know, wherever we go, we are the fragrance of Christ. We go, and we have the option to go not as ourselves, but as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Whether you're on some committee in town, or on the school board, or on the fire department, or shopping, or going to work, when you bump into people, I don't believe there are coincidences. I believe that it's appointments that God sets up for those that have said, here I am, Lord, send me. In the psalm today, it's a psalm of ascent. If you want to turn to Psalm 126, we could take a quick look at a couple of things. And if you don't want to, that's okay. I'll read part of it to you. In many ways, this psalm is an evangelistic psalm. This is when the Israelites had come out of exile. They were being restored. Everything that they had lost was being restored to them. It says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. They couldn't even believe it. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. And it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. It was said among the nations. People knew what had happened to Israel. And God restored them. And it was obvious to those that saw that God had done something amazing and powerful in those people's lives. And so, in your own life, has the Lord restored you in some amazing way, great or small? Any restoration of God is amazing. Any breaking in of the divine into our human way of life is amazing. And if you have had any touch from God, any change in your life because of Jesus, that is your testimony. That is your witness. That is what you can say to somebody else. Yeah, life's a little different for me, and here's why. You know, you're not limited to a formula or a program in evangelism. It's not like if you do these four things, or say these four phrases, or use this process, people will be drawn to you. It's not like, you know, fishing. This past week, we tried to find the right color egg sack to use on these trout. They didn't really want pink, but they were great with orange. You know, it's how has the Lord affected you and changed you? About a year ago, a woman came out of Downers Corner store and almost bumped into me as she came around the corner. And she had a black eye. She was crying. And I asked the typical obvious guy question, are you okay? Well, obviously not. She's got a black eye and she's in tears, but I didn't know how to start that conversation. And within about a minute and a half, I heard some of her story and had the chance to pray for her on the sidewalk in front of Downers Corner store. And she went away shaking her head because she couldn't believe that God had put someone in her path to meet her at that point. And so, fast forward a year, I'm at Downers, I'm at Pump 5 getting diesel to run my evaporator to make maple syrup. And this car rolls into Downers, sputters, and dies. It's run out of fuel. Well, guess who gets out of the car? Same woman. A year later, our eyes meet, I recognize her, and I walked up to her. And she recognized me and burst into tears and couldn't believe it. And I said to her, do you think that this is a coincidence? That we just happened to be here at the same time? This is God breaking into your life and saying he loves you and he wants to be a part of your life and is drawing you to himself. What's going on? And so I heard the story a little bit. I filled up her car with gas and bought her some groceries. And there was no seminary training to be able to do that. There was no program. I didn't whip out a book with steps for evangelism. It's just bumping into people. It's being willing to listen to the Spirit of God. And when you get up in the morning and say, Lord, you've given me another day. What do you want me to do with it? If you put people in my path, I will listen to you and I will do my very best to share Jesus with them. You can share Jesus with word. You can share Jesus with deed. When people know that you're following him, they pay attention. And they notice what's happening. Everybody in the gospel lesson today had an encounter with Jesus. Right? Everybody that was there thought something about him. If you would like to take a look at it with me, well, you may. Jesus is at the home of Lazarus, right? That's the guy that he called out of the tomb, right? He'd been dead so long that he actually stunk. And Jesus rose him from the dead, right? Brought him back. And so they're there, they're having dinner. Martha served, and Lazarus was actually there at the table with them. And then Mary takes a pound of really expensive perfume and anoints Jesus' feet. So you've got Lazarus, he had quite an encounter with Jesus, right? He was dead. And Jesus raised him after several days. Then there's Martha. She has a particular relationship with Jesus. Mary does as well. Judas is there. He's angry because he wanted to skim off the coffers. Right? That's his relationship with Jesus, and he's headed to betray him. And there's Jesus himself. And everybody in that situation has to decide how they're going to respond to Christ. And you all have made decisions or are in the process of making decisions about how you will respond to Christ. And every person that you bump into, that you bring Jesus to in word or in deed, has the opportunity to respond to Christ. We have no control over how people will respond, but we do have control over whether or not we will be obedient to what God calls us to do every day with the people that we have in our common lives together. So here's a good way to start. I'm going to close with this. Simple prayer. You don't have to say these words exactly, just the idea. God, just raise my awareness today as I go out. And as I go about my day in the world of people around me, I'm open to your leadings. If you draw my attention to someone, I'm going to look at them. And if you whisper to me, I'm going to listen. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.